talk to you this morning about the gift that keeps on giving. The most important and valuable gift is a gift that lasts. And the gift that lasts forever would be the most powerful gift that you could ever give. Everybody's kind of, I think that Christmas is an interesting time of year because a lot of people like to give gifts, and some really like to go shopping. We just popped out a Black Friday. I don't know why they call it Black Friday. It should be Red Friday because you go in red. Yeah. They call it the Black Friday. It doesn't keep you in the black, it takes you to the red. But Dara and I was having this discussion. We decided that we would go shopping on Black Friday. So we were sitting in the living room and Dara was on the computer. And I told her, I said, I think I know what I want to get you for Christmas. And she said, what's that? I said, I'd like to get you a scope for your gun. Because she had a gun that her dad, she inherited from her dad. And the scope on it wasn't very good, so I told her, I want to get you a scope. And I told her, look online and see what you can find. So she found this scope online that she really liked. And I said, go ahead and buy it. And so she clicked the button, and she bought the scope, and I'm through shopping. I love to shop. It's not a problem for me. The gift that keeps on giving. It's interesting. Someone wondered what the first Christmas would have been like. And here, listen to me. I know it's not Christmas yet. And I know we're still in November, but I want to challenge you today because we're going into the Christmas season. And I know that Thanksgiving is over, but I want to challenge you to go into the Christmas season with a healthy perspective and to be able to walk through, because sometimes Christmas can bring a lot of pressure on you and sometimes a lot of tension in the family. And I just want this to be a healthy season for everybody. Somebody wondered what Christmas might be like if it wasn't wise men that went to Bethlehem, but it was wise women. It might have been like this. The wise women would have asked for directions. They would have got there on time. They made it to Bethlehem and helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned up the stable. They would have made a decent meal and brought some practical gifts. Wise women. Lord knows we need more wise women. The wise men, they were the modern day thinkers of the time. Back in the day, they had a knowledge of math and science, astronomy, history, and agriculture, very well-rounded men. Historians believe that you didn't become a king in Persia without the scientific and religious discipline of the wise men. The prophet Daniel, he talked about the men, the wise men of Babylonia. This is probably why they were looking for the one who had been born the king of the Jews, because the wise men were interested in the king and what the king did. Matthew chapter 2, and I'm not going to go back to this chapter throughout the Christmas season because this is Christmas. The second chapter of the book of Matthew goes something like this. Verse 1, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he? Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east and we have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, they inquired of them where the Christ had been born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. In other words, they said, Herod, if you would have been reading your Bible, you would have known that it had been in Bethlehem. Did you know there's a lot in the Bible that you would know that you ask questions about? You would know it if you study it. Did you know that all the answers to questions that you have about life are in the Word of God? That's the reason he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly, everybody say rightly,
right.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, you can wrongly divide the word of truth and mess you up. But when you rightly divide it, there will be peace there, and you will have the answers. And Herod, he didn't have no answers because he didn't care what the Bible said. The Bible said, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he has secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring him back to me that I may come and worship him also. We all know that was not Herod's intention, because later on he killed all the babies because he was threatened by a baby. Let me tell you something. When the king comes to your house, don't be threatened by him. Embrace him and cook him a meal. Amen. When they entered the king, when they heard the king, they departed, the wise men, and behold, the star which had appeared in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, the mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they were And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country. I believe that the wise men were ecstatic about Christmas because they found the Christ child. Did you know that you can have an amazing Christmas this year if you have your priorities correct? Because really, after all, it is his birthday. And the reason that we're here today is because we have come to celebrate the birth of the king. The first point that I want to make to you is that they were willing to ask. The scripture says, you have not because you ask not. So many people, they're afraid to ask, because they don't ever know what they're going to get. And a lot of times the questions comes out, what do you want for Christmas? And what would make Christmas wonderful for you? Some people go, man, if it'd just snow, man, I'd be my Christmas. Well, it's probably not going to happen. It's probably not going to snow. If the family could just get together, everybody would be happier. If we could have some more holidays, if we could just have lights on the house. If I could just find the perfect present, or if I could just get the perfect present, that would make my Christmas wonderful. I remember one year I got socks and shorts. I'm like, I didn't know I needed them. But apparently Mom did. Well, we've all been disappointed at Christmas time because it didn't deliver what we were looking for. The pressure of not being able to give what we want to give to someone special in our lives may be a pressure that we're not able to take. I heard someone say that getting satisfaction with all of the things, the Christmas lights, the Christmas parade, the Christmas tree, the Christmas presents, is like going to a fine restaurant and sitting down at a beautiful ribeye steak dinner and getting excited about the silverware. You see, the lights, the presents, all of those things are not the main thing when it comes to Christmas. And many times in Christmas season, we major on the minors and we minor on the major. The wise men came to Jerusalem looking for an opportunity to worship. If you want to give Jesus something for Christmas, I would just say to you, we're doing that today. We are worshiping Jesus. And you might say, well, that's what I got for him last year. He wants the same thing he wanted last year. He wants you to worship him. The greatest gift that you can give to Jesus is the gift of worship. And when you get that worship part down, it will bless you and you'll receive the gift of peace when you worship. Did you know that you can worship through any problem that you have? And when you're robbed of worship, when you rob yourself of worship, you're robbing God of worship, but you are the one who's not getting blessed. If you get that worship part down, That's what Jesus wants for his birthday. God still values great worship. The wise men not only looked for the right thing, they looked in the right place. Listen to what the wise men said. So they said to him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, who will shepherd my people. If you are looking for satisfaction this Christmas from your family or from the snow or from the presents or from a perfect meal, some of you ladies, you're like, if I could just cook the perfect meal. You'll always be disappointed if that's the main thing in your life. Jeremiah 29:13 said this. It said, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you seek for him with all your heart, it says that's the day that you will be found of him. You see, he will reward you when you seek for him, when you give him the gift of worship and the presence, in your presence you give to him, the greatest present that you can give to him is your presence. Seek the right thing, the opportunity to worship in the right place, which is the word of God. You won't be disappointed this Christmas season. So the second point is to give. There was a middle-aged woman. She posted her Christmas wish on the refrigerator so her husband would see it so he could read it and get her the gift. Rather than list a certain item that she wanted, she simply requested something that will make me look sexy and beautiful. Well, the Christmas rolled around and she expected to open a package with some fancy lingerie or something like that. And to her surprise, he gave her an exercise bicycle. Sometimes you need to be specific as to what you want. You may not get what you desire. Okay, let's get back to the Christmas story. Verse 11, and when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men came to Jesus' house, and they brought the gifts. Notice here, they brought the gifts to Jesus. They didn't send the gifts to Jesus. Did you know that when you bring gifts, that your presence is more valuable than your presence? Because when you come, you are more valuable to the one you're giving the gift to than the actual gift. It should be that way. And when Jesus came, his presence was the gift. And when you come, your presence should be the gift. You know, we want to just send it UPS. But God wants us to bring the gift. And you see, that's what we've done today. When you came to church, when you got up and you decided to come to church, you brought the gift of your presence. And when you got here, you brought the gift of worship. And today, you are giving God the gift that he desires. So many times we don't think that's enough, but let me tell you something. That's what he wants, and that's enough. You are God's greatest treasure. That's why he wants you as his gift today, because God values you more than he gives, values anything that you can do for him. The gold was a gift. The gold was a gift for the king. The frankincense was a gift for the priest. The myrrh was a gift for the dead. The fragrant, expensive ointment that was used to anoint the body before burial. Jesus' own body would be anointed with myrrh. If our greatest need had been information, he would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need would have been technology, he sent us a scientist. If our greatest need would have been money, he would have sent an economist. If our greatest need would have been pleasure, he would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so he sent us a savior. And that's why we worship him today, because he gives us what we need, not what we deserve. The best gift God could give us was himself. And the best gift this Christmas that we can give would be ourselves. seek the right things. Ask the opportunity to worship. Give the right thing. Give. Give of yourself. And not only give of yourself, but let me say this, give to yourself. You know, the best Christmas present I ever got in my life, I got it for myself. Anybody here ever buy yourself something for Christmas? Raise your hand. It made me feel better. What do you want for Christmas? Well, I already got it. That's why you're so hard to buy for. That's what they say. So the third point is receive. I like to give myself Christmas. In the time left, I want to talk to you about the gift of knowing God. The greatest gift, really, that you can give to yourself is the gift of knowing Him. It's actually the gift that keeps on giving. Isaiah chapter 45, it's an interesting chapter because it talks about how great God is and the blessing that God wants to be to Israel. And we all know that the promises of Abraham came to Israel, but through Abraham, it's also come to us because we have the promises. And I was reading through that, and you can read through it later if you want to, but I got hung up there on Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5. And here's what it says. It says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Now, some scriptures, you almost have to be a cowboy to be able to interpret them. Because it's a cowboy church. We have the luxury of knowing what he meant in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5, because we're cowboys. He said, I have girded thee. Now, what a gird is, and we brought this saddle up here. What a gird is this is a girth or a cinch. We call it a cinch. But it's a girth, and it goes up under the horse, and it's you can cinch it up, and it makes the saddle stay on the horse because you tighten it up. And in order, now, there's been people that, I had a friend of mine that he fell off his horse at the National Finals Rodeo because he didn't gird his horse up in the 10th round, and he's winning the average. Crazy. But you cinch that horse up and you get that horse. The reason that we cinch the horse up is because we're getting the horse ready to ride. The purpose of a horse is to ride him. And so we put the saddle on, we gird him up, and we get him ready to ride. When we were younger, we used to travel on the rodeo circuit before I was married to Darlin. And my brother and I was in a town in Brush, Colorado. And there was a guy there. He came and he was trying to sell us a horse. And it was really a well-bred horse, but this horse was turned out on a section of land. And my brother, he can be a smart mouth. And he said, "Well, why don't you just enter that horse into the ministry?" And this guy, he stopped for a minute. He said, "You know what? If you can catch him, you can have him." He was a 4-year-old stud horse, stallion, been turned out on a section of land. I don't even know how many acres that is. It's 120, something like that. And it was full of prairie dog holes. And we're cowboys. And we like a challenge, but we're also very, 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 very competitive, real competitive. We thought, there ain't no horse we can't catch. We said, okay, we'll do that. So we went and got the horse trailer and got another horse, and we went out there and we tried to rope this wild horse. This horse, he was so athletic, he could He can actually, and you got to watch it, because if you step in a prairie dog hole, it could break your horse's leg, and mess you up too along the way. And this horse, you couldn't catch him because he's just all over the place. And it was terrible. And finally, after several hours, we didn't know what to do. So I went and I called my dad. Now, my dad's passed on. He's gone to be with the Lord. But he was a great cowboy too. And he thought a lot like horses. I mean, he just understood horses better. And so I called him and said, "Dad, we can't catch this horse. We don't. He's a stallion. He's out there, and man, he just can't catch up." He said, "Do you have a mare?" You say bait? So we went and got a mare, and we led that mare out in that pasture, and that old stud horse just followed that mare right into the pen, threw him in the trailer, and took him home. Well, my brother, he was home and I was off. I was gone rodeoing, but he was home and he wanted to take on this little project of, we named him Woody because the owner's name was Woodrow, so we called the horse Woody. He wanted to get old Woody going. So he threw a saddle on him, put him out in the round pen and run him around that round pen, got him saddled up. He was so proud of himself, got the saddle on old Woody. And he went and got Dad and he said, "Dad, come on, I got old Woody going." And Dad came out there, he said, "Have you got on him yet?" And Russ like, "Well, no, not yet." And Dad's like, "Well, get on him." And Russ is like, "Yeah, I don't." And Dad goes, "Just get on him." And Russ, "Well, I don't really." And you would have to know my dad. I don't know. I'm sure none of y'all men are like this, but he's like, if we didn't want to do something, we just had to wait a little bit while longer, and Dad would say, give me that. And so Dad would, "Give me that horse, I'll get on him." So he got in there and he girded him up and he stepped in his stirrup. Just as he went to throw his leg over, old Woody come unglued. And he just bucked and threw Dad off, and Dad stepped in the pile of manure and fell down. Just Russ said, I wasn't even there, but Russ said, "Oh, Woody kicked right over the top of Dad's head just while he was laying down." And you might wonder where I'm going with this. I was wondering the same thing myself. He said, "I've girded thee. I took all the time. I got you ready. And I wanted to get you to the place where I could take care of you. I wanted to get you to the place where I could get the worms out of you so I could worm you without you kicking my head off." He said, "I wanted to be able to trim your feet. I wanted to brush you. I wanted to help you. I wanted to make life better for you." He said, "I've girded thee. Though thou hast not known me. I've done everything I could do. I've made everything available for you so that you could have life, real life, not just existing through the seasons and through the holidays, but I came that you might have life and have abundant life. But you don't know me." Scripture says that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. You see, what happens a lot of times is that we're good in church. We're good at giving. But sometimes we're not that good at receiving. And we make exceptions to the rule. And we say, "Well, that's not for me." God says, "It is for you, because I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, not just a life of existence and going through the motion and getting more toys and more toys and more toys, but having the giver of eternal life and knowing him, you can be in church all your life and not ever know God. Herod thought he knew, but he didn't bother to get into the scripture. This past week, I was riding my horse, and my granddaughter, 3-year-old, her name's Tess, and I got her a pony. I got her a 20-year-old blind pony. She's blind in one eye, and he's perfect for her. But we're selling our place where we're at right now, and we bought a smaller place, a 15-acre place, and we had to get a bunch of the trees cleared off of it and the brush and stuff, dead trees and brush. We left all the trees we could. But we had 3 huge piles of brush that was out there. And while we was riding down through there, Tess asked me, she said, Pops, what? She calls me Pops. She said, what about the trees? She said, how come the trees are like that? How come the trees are there? And I said, well, Tess, these were dead trees and it was brush. And in her 3-year-old mind, she couldn't comprehend that anybody would take anything down that was alive. And so we went and we walked up, and she was looking at that big pile of brush and dead trees. And she said, Pops, we need to fix the trees. We need to get some glue and we need to get some glitter and fix the trees. The Bible says, unless you become as a little child, you can't go to heaven. You can't inherit the kingdom of God unless you become as a little child. She thought all we needed was a little glue and a little glitter. She wasn't just going to leave it with the glue, by the way. She was going to put a little glitter on them trees after she got them put back together again. Have you ever been broken with life? Have you ever been to the place where you just didn't know if you could make it or not? And then God comes along and goes, let's put a little glue and let's put a little glitter on it. I want to give you the real life that I created when I created you. But you don't know me. All God wants is for you to have the best, because God believes in you more than you believe in yourself, because God wants you to give yourself the best gift, which is eternal life and a relationship with your Creator, so that you might know him and the power of the resurrection. But I want to say this: along with the power of the resurrection comes the fellowship of his suffering. What that means is that there is a brokenness that happens in all of us. We have all been broken. We have all sinned. We all bunch of pile brush up there. And then God comes along and says, I can make something beautiful out of your life. I don't know how you sit this still when I'm telling you something so good. He made something beautiful out of this old dead brush right here. Encourage us for the ride, for the long haul, for life, for eternal life. Thank God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, that you are more than enough for every situation we find ourselves in. I thank you, Lord, that you gave your life so that we could have eternal life. Bless your people. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. The scripture says that we've all sinned, that we've all come short of the glory of God. But he's also said that if we would confess our sin, that he would be faithful to forgive us of our sin. God has given you the choice to receive the gift. So this morning, if you've never invited him to come into your heart, or maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life." Slip your hand up high. "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus." Anybody? Slip your hand up high. "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. Make him the Lord of my life." It's the greatest gift you'll ever give yourself. It's the greatest gift that God's provided for you. Anybody? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Jesus. We have our prayer team up here. If you need special prayer, love to have you. There's a scripture that talks about the peace that passes understanding. When we don't understand things in life, we have the giver of peace. And sometimes we don't even need to understand because we have the giver of peace. You know, information is important, but peace is more important than any information you can have. Because we have the giver of peace. And Jesus said this. He said, he didn't say, "I will give you peace." He said, "I will be your peace." So we have the giver of peace. So I want to pray for you. And I know that I've thrown a challenge out there. Not only for God to be able to gird you, but also for you to know him. And I just want to challenge you as you go through these coming weeks, give yourself the gift of knowing God. Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Lord, as we walk through this coming week and this Christmas season, Lord, that we would keep the main thing the main thing. Lord, that we would follow you with all of our whole heart, that we'd be faithful to you, Lord. Lord, more than anything, oh God, that as you give us peace through this season, that we would know you, the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering. Lord, help us, Lord, as we recognize that you put us back together again and give us life. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. We love y'all. Be blessed. Have a great week.